So we want to welcome all of the devotees today to a very new venue. We have never had particle program here before, but it's a good start and it's a good way to pray that we have more, much more opportunities to hear Bhagavatam everywhere in Singapore. But this place is going to be special because with all the devotees' blessings, somehow if Krishna wants, then this place can become a wonderful preaching center to get more people to understand Krishna consciousness, to get those of us who are already in Krishna consciousness more fired up to do more service in Krishna service. And for those of us who feel that enough of our jobs, you know, we want to serve in the restaurant, then this is also a good place for us to do that. You know? So in good times and bad times, restaurant is always needed. My Guru Maharaj pushed us for this for the last 15-16 years since the day he came to Singapore. When he came to Singapore, he said, I like two things about Singapore. One, I like the national service idea that all the boys must go for national service and go into the army. Because from 18 to 21 years of age is the time when our minds and our urges are the strongest. And anywhere else in the world, Maharaj is saying, in London, US, anywhere, the crime rates are very high within this period, this span of age. He said, it's good, Singapore, your government is good because at least during that time, they are channeling all that energy into army, washing toilets, running around, and doing all kinds of funny things. But at least some form of discipline is there. The second thing Maharaj observed in Singapore was everybody likes to eat. So he said, everywhere I see restaurants, so we should have a restaurant. And that time Maharaj said, to make Singapore unique, he said, the restaurant should be called Gopal's. Because Govindas is everywhere, and we should call Gopal's. Someone asked Maharaj, you know, is there any specific reason why it should be Gopal's, you know? And Maharaj said, it is not different from Govindas. So that's not the argument. And then Maharaj, every year, twice, three times, whenever I would be with Maharaj and with other devotees, Maharaj would keep asking us, when are you going to open the restaurant? You know? And he had only a specific plan. He felt that really, if we really have a restaurant, it will be a good uniting factor for all devotees. He said, you know, in Singapore, nobody knows how to be united. We think we are united, but we are not. But he said, prasadam unites everyone. You may have differences in so many ways, but real unity nobody can deny when prasadam is put before you. So that is also true. He said, this will bring everyone together, and this will make everybody think about how they can get their friends and other persons. Otherwise, very often the tendency for devotees is, after a while, we are just moving around with each other. Between our work and between what we are doing, we have no time. So this will be a good way to bring people who have never been introduced, you know, to come to hear something about Krishna, or to have prasadam amidst nice Krishna conscious music. Downstairs will be the restaurant. Upstairs, it's still open to ideas. Many senior devotees have seen this place and they have suggested very nice points, like maybe we should have a preacher's corner. Devotees who are interested can always come upstairs and conduct programs. If Ram Temple is not available, Virama Temple, Virama Kalyan Temple is not available, and then we don't have the headache, you know, of thinking now where to go. We have a floor upstairs. And the other way also was, Maharaj was saying, make an integrated concept so that every point of the restaurant downstairs, people's inquisitiveness should be picked up. That this restaurant is different. You have something here to offer. Maybe some books, a book corner, you know, a children's corner with toys or Krishna conscious games, things like that. Nice paintings. And then if they want to have more inquiries or something, they should come up and we should have some nice presentation here. Maybe some exhibits or some informative media to give people information on what we do and why our food is special and what is it that makes you come back again and again for this. So Maharaj said that Krishna consciousness in Gopal's restaurant should become an atmospheric event. It should actually be atmosphere. People should feel that this is a Vedic and spiritually charged atmosphere. They should feel that if we come here, there is some peace and there is something vibrant at the same time. So that should be how we should work towards it. So he had very specific instructions. And we really wanted him to be here. But Maharaj is now travelling to Abu Dhabi and he's on the way to London. So his health also has been a bit up and down. So he's not able to be here today. But his instructions are here for all of us to follow. And we all know that all these acharyas, they have only one welfare in mind, that we should all become fixed in Krishna. So with that in mind, we want to read Bhagavatam today, and then we want to do a short video presentation of Maharaj, because he's not here, so we thought it would be a nice offering for him. And if Krishna willing, Maharaj recorded 5 minutes of a short message in Abu Dhabi last night. The audio has been downloaded, but the video is still being downloaded. It's one of those things. I'm not sure how it works, but it's running. You can keep it on the site. Keep it on the site. So, like that, we hope that we can either hear Maharaj or see Maharaj. Let's see what Krishna wants. But before that, we should remember that whenever we do any Krishna consciousness activity, we are never alone. We are never alone. We have the full blessings of Srila Prabhupada, and we have the full blessings of all the acharyas behind us. And when so much backing is there, then we should have the confidence and the courage that how can we miss? So this human life cannot be wasted, Prabhus and Matajis. You know, this event should not be a social event. It should be an event for us to think that I should improve my Krishna consciousness. I can do more if Krishna wants. And if Guru wants, you know, we can work together to do many, many wonderful things to please Krishna. So in that mood, if we do, then wherever we are, we will always be peaceful. Otherwise, it is very difficult. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय श्री गुरुदेव की जय जय गौर प्रेम ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये.
Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, unto Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author.
Nasta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishiki.
My regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and my rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.
So today, Prabhus, Matajis, we continue the nice prayers of Shukadeva Goswami and
unless I'm really wrong, the verse is 2:4:13. Is that right? My biggest nightmare is the day I'm going to take the wrong verse. Then it becomes very difficult. Do we have space? Are we alright? There's still a bit of space. You realize, Prabhu's Matajis, we have a happy problem. A happy problem is nice, but it's a problem. Sometimes many people say, you know, when are you going to get a nice temple? And we tell them, most societies in Singapore, they are very content to have a shop house like this. Because it's enough year-round for all their devotees. For us, this is a Sunday crowd. Our Saturday crowd is much bigger. So we need a bigger premise. If all of us pray hard, you know, somebody may come forward and say, look, we have this nice place, nothing is happening, you know, we want it to be used. And Krishna may want to reward us with that, you know. So that's our happy problem. Right? It's a problem which is nice because there are many devotees. If we have 1,000 devotees regularly attending Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, the happy problem becomes such that we need a stadium. But it's still a happy problem. So let us read now from 2:4:13. This is very, very nice verse. And in fact, this is one of the first few verses that Guru Maharaj taught me to understand when I first met him actually. Bhuyo namasad vrijina chidesatam.
Bhuyo namasad vrijina chidesatam.
Asambhavaya akhila sadvamurte.
Asambhavaya akhila sadvamurte.
Umsam punaparamahamsya ashrame.
Umsam punaparamahamsya ashrame.
Yavastitana.
Asambhavaya
sarvamurte. Paramahamsya maashrame. Yavastitanam anumrekya dasushe. Bhuyo namasad vrijina chire asata.
Bhuyo namasad vrijina chire asata.
Asambhavaya akhila sadvamurte. Sampuna paramahamsya maashrame. Yavastitanam anumrekya dasushe.
Bhuyo namasad vrijina chidesata.
Bhuyo namasad vrijina chidesata.
Asambhavaya akhila sarvamurtaye.
Asambhavaya akhila sarvamurtaye.
Kunsa punam paramahansya ashrame.
Kunsa punam paramahansya ashrame.
Yavastitanam anumrekya dasyuse.
Bhuyo namasad vrijina chidesata.
Bhuyo namasad vrijina chidesata.
Asambhavaya akhila sarvamurte.
Asambhavaya akhila
sarvamurte. Paramahansa ashrame.
Sampuna paramahansa ashrame.
Yavastitanam anumrekya dasushe.
Bhuyo
namasad vrijina chidesata.
Bhuyo namasad vrijina chidesata.
Asambhavaya akhila sarvamurte.
Asambhavaya akhila sarvamurte.
Sampuna paramahansa ashrame.
Sampuna paramahansa ashrame.
Yavastitanam anumrekya dasushe.
Yavastitanam anumrekya dasushe.
the devotees who are aware of his transcendental form render him service. Therefore, the Lord also reciprocates by his causeless mercy and thus delivers his devotees from all distresses. The pious men who follow the rulings of the Vedas are also dear to him, and therefore the pious men of this world are also protected by him. The impious and the non-devotees are against the principles of the Vedas, and so such persons are always hampered from making advances in their nefarious activities. Some of them who are specially favored by the Lord are killed by him personally, as in cases of Ravana, Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa, and thus such demons get salvation and are thereby checked from further progress in their demoniac activities. Just like a kind father, either in his favor upon the devotees or his punishment of the demons, he is ever kind to everyone because he is the complete existence for all individual existence. The Paramahamsa stage of existence is the highest perfectional stage of spiritual values. According to Srimati Kunti Devi, the Lord is actually understood by the Paramahamsas only. As there is gradual realization of the transcendence from impersonal Brahman to localized Paramatma to the personality of Godhead, Purushottama, Lord Krishna, similarly, there is gradual promotion of one's situation in the spiritual life of sannyas. Kuti Kacha, Bahudaka, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa are gradual progressive stages in the renounced orders of life, sannyas. And Queen Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, has spoken about them in her prayers for Krishna, for Lord Krishna, Canto 1, Chapter 8. The Paramahamsas are generally found among both the impersonalists and the devotees. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, as clearly stated by Kunti Devi, pure bhakti yoga is understood by the Paramahamsas. And Kunti Devi has especially mentioned that the Lord descends paritranaya sadhuna, especially to award bhakti yoga to the Paramahamsas. So ultimately, the Paramahamsas in the true sense of the term are unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami has directly accepted that the highest destination is bhakti yoga, by which one accepts the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Those who accept the path of bhakti yoga are the factual Paramahamsas. Since the Lord is very kind to everyone, the impersonalists who accept bhakti as the means of merging in the existence of the Lord in his impersonal Brahma Jyoti are also awarded their desired destination. He has assured everyone in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Ye Yatha Mam Prapadyante. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, there are two classes of Paramahamsas, namely the Brahmanandis, impersonalists, and the Premanandis, devotees. And both are awarded their desired destinations, although the Premanandis are more fortunate than the Brahmanandis. But both the Brahmanandis and the Premanandis are transcendentalists, and they have nothing to do with the inferior material nature full of the existential miseries of life. Jayashta Prupa, transcendental purpose. Before we say something on this verse, we seek the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, all previous acharyas, and all devotees gathered here, so that we will not say anything wrong or offensive in the course of this discussion.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalaya Chaturum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Lokisham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanandikam Vande Nam Shri Guru Devadatam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagajatam Masakanarudatamitam Sadvaitam Sadhudam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhagana Lalita Shri Vishakhandvitamsha He Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Vardho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namo Suye Tata Kanchana Gaurange Kaye Vrindavani Shri Vishakhandu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Namo Mahapadanyaya Krishna prema pradayate Krishnaya Krishna chaitanya namne gore vishe namaha vacha kalpataru vyasya sindhu vyaye vacha patitana pavane vyo vaishave vyo namo maha namo vishnu badaya Krishna prishaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vinata swami niti namine namaste saraswati deve gurvani pracharine nirvishesha sunyavadi satyate deshadarine jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaura bhaktavinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare 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 krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare 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 krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare
In this verse, we start actually with the verse, with the word Namaha, Bhuyoho Namaha. And you find Bhuyoho means again, Namaha means respectful obeisances. So this is a nice point. Sukadev Goswami, throughout these prayers, actually offers repeated obeisances again and again and again. And this point is should not be lost on us. Why? Because in everything else in this material world, repetition is terrible. Except in the spiritual world, we cannot bear too much repetition. If your wife starts telling you the same thing 20 times a day, either you run away or you will tear your hair. It's called nagging. If husband says the same thing to the wife, wife gets fed up. If we repeat and repeat and repeat over and over and over again, we cannot take it. Teachers in school, they have a habit of repeating and repeating and repeating. The reason they repeat actually is because we don't hear enough or they feel we are not attentive. But the point is, in material world, the material sound vibrations are not very pleasing for us to keep repeating. That's why when you listen to pop music, you find that every week, every 2 weeks, the pop music charts may change. They are as volatile as the stock exchange. Why? Because everybody hears one song maybe for about 10 times. I think when you come to the 15th time, you feel like just tearing your hair or throwing the song away or something like that, you know. But when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have been chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra for years. Day in, day out. In difficulty, in happiness, in every situation. But nobody here has decided, I've had enough with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Actually, the truth is, those who come to chant, they never leave the chanting. They never leave chanting. And most important, they cannot leave Krishna. So that's why we must never undervalue the value of repeating the Lord's holy names, repeating the same message. Sometimes we also get into this idea, oh, tomorrow's class is by so and so. He's going to say all the usual things that we all know. So why to go? We want to wait for someone else to speak. He's going to give us very deep philosophy, which we have never heard before. This is rascaldom. This is what Prabhupada said. Why? Because we have not even gone beyond the stage of I am not this body. Who gives us the right to think that we must hear something else? The moment you say I want to hear something else, that is already leaning towards the material energy of the Lord. Nothing to do with the spiritual energy of the Lord. Prabhupada is the best example. If you read all Prabhupada's lectures, his lectures were very straightforward, his lectures are very simple, very concise, and they always dwell on one point. And what is that point? That you are not this body. Eventually Prabhupada always brings it down to that. So there is no need for us to go anywhere else. Sometimes people tell us, no, Prabhupada gave something, but we have to give more. That idea should be abolished immediately from our minds. Because whatever Prabhupada has given Prabhus and Matajis is complete. It is more than sufficient for us to go back to Godhead with him. There is no need to add, no need to subtract, no need to divide. We just have to sit down and we have to study. And Prabhupada and all the Acharyas will give us sufficient realization to work our lives. And the basis of that is Bhuyoho Namaha. That we repeatedly every day offer simple, heartfelt, respectful obeisances to their lordships. Whenever we start an endeavor, we begin that activity for His satisfaction. That is Bhuyoho Namaha. When we end the activity, we thank Krishna and leave it in His hands. That is Bhuyoho Namaha. If we were to take darshan of their lordships in the morning, in the evening, we should always never forget to pay obeisances. Sometimes that is also forgotten. We say, never mind Prabhu, we all do Manas Puja. Everything is in the heart, everything is in the mind, you know. You don't know how many times repeatedly I'm offering obeisances to the Lord. It's all going on in my mind. That's very dangerous. Maybe Acharyas can do it, but we are not there yet. So please, best exercise is offering dandavats. Offering obeisances to devotees. Keep doing it, you will lose weight. That is a side sign. But on top of that, we are really practicing with our mind to understand how we should always bow before the authority of the Lord. So this is the point we should remember at the very start of this verse. The other thing we should remember about this verse is that this verse actually has two points. The first point is, Krishna is giving us two primary qualities of His. You can say functions, or you can say mission. But He is doing two. He is informing us. Shukadev Goswami is informing us what Krishna does. But the interesting thing is, Prabhu said, Mataji, if we read the purport and study it carefully, the two functions of the Lord that He performs may appear to be opposite. But the truth is, they are meant to achieve the same result. They are meant to achieve the same result. That is why Krishna is considered absolute. Nobody in this world can actually do completely opposite things and achieve the same result. Only Krishna can. Because whatever Krishna does is always absolute. This point is driven home in this lecture, in this purport and in the translation. And then, after that, the next point that Prabhupada gives in the purport and Shukadeva Goswami tells us is the mercy and the kind nature of the Lord, especially on the transcendentalists, the Paramahamsas. This is the other point that Krishna is being, this is another point that Shukadeva Goswami and Prabhupada are putting. And the last point is the conclusion. And the conclusion is very simple. If we put the functions of the Lord together and His kindness, we can understand that there is no one else who is more merciful in this entire three worlds than the Lord. That He is really the source of all kindness, all mercy. He is the reservoir of all things which are auspicious. And in front of Krishna, nothing is bad, nothing is good. Everything is transcendental. This point as devotees, we must grasp. If we don't, we'll always be oscillating in this world between what is good, what is bad. What is good, what is bad. This is not good for me, this is bad for me. This is not good for me, this is not bad for me. Why Krishna has made things difficult? Oh, Krishna is making it good. But actually both are the same. We must accept it. The first point here that is nicely stated is the word, are the words Sat Vrijina Chide. Sat Vrijina Chide actually means that Krishna always has one thing in mind, foremost for everyone. And that is for His devotees and for those who are pious, Krishna is always ready to relieve the distresses of the devotees. This is a very important point. And we may ask ourselves, what are these distresses? I think I should not be elaborating on distresses because all of us know that daily we are struggling with all the distresses of our work, our house, money. At every junction of our life in this material world, there is only misery and distress. What is the nature of this world? This world is Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. So nature of the world is distressful. How can we expect anything else to happen in this world except distress? This is the logical thing that escapes us. Nature of fire is to burn, nature of water is to flow. Nature of this world is to make you suffer. If we cannot accept that, we are starting off with the wrong premise. Then whole life we become frustrated. If we expect to find happiness in the world, we are fool number one. That's why Brahmaji prays to Krishna in 398 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There, you know, he says very nicely, he defines the distress. He says, O Lord, I feel very much aggrieved to see all these living beings in this material world. They are full of distress. What are the distresses? He says, they are always hungry. I think that's true, isn't it, Prabhu Swami? It won't take too much time. By lunchtime, we promise you, you'll have a taste of Gopal's prasadam. Just tolerate for a while. We're always hungry. If we're not hungry, we're always thirsty. Hunger and thirst always affecting us. Can't escape from this. Wherever we are, whoever we are, hunger and thirst, very difficult. Then Brahmaji says that we are also constantly afflicted by severe cold or severe heat. Singapore weather, very, very difficult. Come to Rajkot, it's 45 degrees now. I feel very cold in Singapore at the moment. Everything is relative, but suffering is there. The person in Singapore will say, I'm suffering. The person in Rajkot will say, I'm suffering. The person in Siberia will say, oh, I'm suffering. But it's cold. So severe cold, extreme heat, secretions of bile, cough. And then it is also stated that the living entities are constantly affected by terrible winters, blasting summers, Rupa translates, blasting summers, very bad summers. Then he says rains, and he says many other disturbing elements. We know they all come under the threefold miseries. If you are doing alright, nothing is happening to you, you are being a good person, you don't disturb anyone, somebody comes and gives you misery. Isn't it? Every time we ask ourselves this question, Prabhu, I never did anything to Ji. You know, I'm telling you, I have been as good as I can be. You know, I am a pure person. I have not done anything to anyone. And all these things are happening. This is nature of the world. And if not you, then by the arrangement of providence, then you have all the different other kinds of miseries. Typhoon, weather, earthquakes, right? All these natural disasters, nobody has yet to be able to control them. No one can control them. It's too big. And if the disasters don't give you trouble, if other people don't give you trouble, you yourself give yourself trouble. This is the worst kind of misery. Why? Because you mentally speculate. This is another problem in this world. I'm seeing Prabhu, Sri Ram Gopal Prabhu, you know, is feeling a bit sleepy in the class. So I'm feeling very bad. Why? Oh, that means this is the value he gives to the class. Huh? Not good. Next time I see him, he smiles at me, I don't look at him. Then he may think, why is he not smiling at me? Did I do something, you know? Next time, never mind, think for that. If he looks at me and says, Hare Krishna, I will smile at him. So next time I think, no, never mind, what is this, you know? Live and then live, you know? So I come to Sri Ram Gopal and say, Hare Gopal Prabhu. He looks up there. And like that, nothing happened, Prabhu's. Mataji, nothing. I just thought of something, he thought of something. And there is no reason for any other reason except mental speculation. Like that, we get depressed. Oh, he didn't look at me. He's looking at me very fiercely. This Mataji never said something to me. No one's giving me respect. All these funny. Oh, he didn't call me for this. He should have given me a word. So many things out of expectation. We cause ourselves unnecessary misery. These are the distresses that Krishna relieves us from. How does he do it? He doesn't take away the distress, Bhagavatam tells us. That we should know. He protects us by relieving us from the distress. That means that he gives us the proper consciousness of devotional service, such that by the platform of devotional service, we are ready to face the difficulties of the material world. And how do we face them? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And for the majority of devotees, Krishna is so kind. Bhagavatam tells us, I think it's 5:19:27 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very nice verse. Satyam dishati artitam artito ninam naivatado yat punar artito yataha swayam vidate bhajata manichitam icha pidanam nijapada pallavam. This is nice verse. Here, it is nicely stated in the pages of Bhagavatam that Krishna always is approached by devotees for some material benediction. And very often in the beginning, he awards them. But when that devotee continuously asks over and over and over for the same material benediction, Krishna stops. The source of supply, he stops. No more material benedictions for you. Devotee may become moros. What is this? For the first 2 years of Krishna consciousness, everything was wonderful. Whatever I wanted, nice house, nice wife, nice children, everything came. Now suddenly, the supply has stopped. What has Krishna been doing? Then Krishna gives something else, Bhagavatam tells us. He says, Bhagavatam tells us that at that point of time, when Krishna stops giving the devotee material benedictions, because he is going to get more and more entrapped in material attachment, Krishna instead gives him the wonderful, wonderful darshan and blessing of his lotus feet. Which means Krishna gives him taste for devotional activities. And he does this, Bhagavatam tells us, even though the devotee may not aspire for it. The devotee may not want the lotus feet of Krishna. Sometimes we are like that. Like children, you know. Children don't know what is good for them. Even if they know, they ignore it. But the point is, Bhagavatam tells us, Krishna is so kind that even if you don't want something, he forces you to have it first. And once you have it, like an injection of, you know, wonderful nectar, after a while the devotee comes to the platform of higher taste. Then he becomes purified. And this comes through the facility of devotional service, association of devotees, and serious and scrutinizing study of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the purport to this verse, very nicely Prabhupada has stated Krishna's psychology. Krishna's psychology is that he's thinking, now look at this devotee. He's coming to me and he's asking me for all material things. Now why should I give him material things? I know very well that material energy is only going to be full of distress. So why should I, who is a true well-wisher of the Lord, want to grant him more difficulty and misery? This is how Lord is thinking, like a well-wishing father. So he says, no, he may be foolish, but I am not foolish. I will give him the taste of my lotus feet. Initially he may be rejecting, but eventually the taste of the lotus feet is so wonderful that he will become more fixed up in devotional service. So like that, Krishna has touched all our lives. We are the proof of this verse actually. How many of us first came to Krishna for everything and anything except his darshan? How many of us came to Krishna because we wanted something specific? We were pious devotees. We also fall in that category. But somehow or another, Krishna may have given us some sweetness. Come. I give you this, I give you that, I give you this. After that, stop the supply. Then I kidnap him and bring him into nice devotional service. And that is how after a while, we have decided that we don't really want anything from Krishna. We are just happy to come to chant, come to hear Bhagavatam, have nice prasadam and take devotee association. That is more than sufficient. And that is the proof of Krishna's working. That he is now, even now as we speak, he is relieving our distresses. How is he doing it? Because we are sitting and hearing Bhagavatam. Anyone feeling particularly distressful at this moment? You can please tell us. Chances are you won't feel particularly distressed. Why? Because Bhagavatam is here. When Bhagavatam is being spoken, three things happen to us, pages of Shastras tell us. One, there is no material hankerings in our heart. Nobody at this moment is feeling the need for any hankering. Second, when Bhagavatam or devotional service is present, there is no envy. Nirvaira sarva bhuteshu. There is no envy between entities. Otherwise, imagine if this was a wedding. Every one of us will be looking at each other. Prabhu, your roti looks very nice. You know, Mataji will be looking, oh, this sari is very nice. She's a walking goldsmith shop. Like that, you know. We are looking at each other. We are always comparing. When we go for social functions, how many times we look in the mirror? When we wear a roti and kurta, how many times we look in the mirror? Hopefully, it should be a reduction. Huh? There should be a reduction. Why? Because we are not coming here to impress anyone. We are coming here to serve Krishna. Doesn't matter how we look or what we want. It's what Krishna wants that is most important. And third, not vega yatra kaschana. There is no vega. Vega means fear. We don't have any fear in our hearts at this moment. There is no anxiety. Nothing. Tomorrow, tonight, Sunday night comes and Monday is coming. Then just experience the anxiety in your heart. For those who are going to school, you start taking out your books. For those who are going to work, you think of your boss. All this instills fear in the heart, isn't it? But with Krishna, he relieves the distress immediately. Dhruva Maharaj was a very good example. Dhruva Maharaj came to Krishna for A. He went back with B. Right? What is B? He went back with Bhakti. That's what he did. A, he came arbitrarily. He came arbitrarily to ask for anything that he wanted. He wanted to become the emperor of the whole world on a whim, on a fancy, arbitrarily. but he left purified by Krishna's lotus feet. In that case, Krishna's lotus conch shell. He touched on Dhruva Maharaj's shoulder, did everything. His darshan changed his life. And he went back completely purified. Completely purified. That's why Dhruva Maharaj very nicely stated, I was just running after what? Broken glasses. Right? I was running after broken, shattered glass. But I did not realize that there was a jewel that was to be gained. So this is the point we should understand. Look at Ajamil. Ajamil spent 88 years of his life, Prabhu and Mataji, in complete anti-Vedic behavior. Completely. What saved him? In the first few years of his life, he was doing devotional service. Swa alpa, dharmasya. Because of that little bit of devotional service, Krishna gave him so much mercy that first he gave him whatever he wanted. Well, never mind, Ajamil wants to enjoy material life. Let him go and enjoy. 80 years he enjoyed. Was he happy? He was frustrated. Nothing was there. In the end, what came? What was the product of 88 years of life? Death in the form of Yamadutas. But when Yamadutas came, Krishna's mercy extended to him. Why? Because somehow or another he named his son Narayana. And because he did that, whatever happened, Krishna again caught him back. Stopped the flow of the material benedictions. And in the conversation between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas, he established, Krishna established through the bio medium of his devotees, the supremacy of devotional service. And that changed completely the life of Ajamil. So much so that the moment he was given a second chance, this is really a second chance, he took it well. We are all being given many chances, more than second chance. Krishna daily is giving us a chance to associate with him. Please don't miss this opportunity. This is the meaning of relieving the distress of the devotees. How does he do it? He does it through devotional service. Devotional service, Prabhu and Mataji, is non-different from Krishna. This point we should not forget. Bhakti is only coming from Krishna. Therefore, it is non-different from Krishna. Bhakti is not a separate element of Krishna. It is non-different from Krishna. The moment you take up the process, Krishna is dancing on your tongue. He is ready to purify our existence by seating himself in our hearts. This is the point we should remember. And on this point, we should remember the promise that Brahmaji prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in 11.5.33 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are only two verses in the entire Bhagavatam which have predicted the arrival of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 11.5.33 and 34, 33 and 32. Both of them are quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this verse, he says right, very nicely, Deham sada paribhavagno abhishnagoham Titaspadam sivavirinchinutam sharanyam Vrityatiham pradatapala bhavadipotam Vande maha purushate charanarvindam. This last line, Prabhupada writes, refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it's referring to Mahapurush, Mahaprabhu. And what does Brahmaji pray? He says very nicely, the whole verse is on taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. He says that if one takes shelter of the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu on the platform of devotional service, then Deham Sada Paribhavagnam Abhishnadoham. He actually grants us what we are actually seeking for. We think we know what we are seeking for, but we always plan it based on material propensity. Prabhu, if I have this, I will do nice bhakti. But Krishna always has other plans. How many times, Prabhu's Mataji, you have planned one thing, and Krishna has planned totally opposite of that? How many times you have planned, but your 10-year, 5-year, 3-year, 2-year plans all gone down the drain? Why? Because He is actually awarding you what He knows you need. And in this specific case, He is giving you bhakti. This is what Mahaprabhu's lotus feet actually grants us. They actually give us love of God. And this is why Krishna comes. Bhuya namo sat vijina chide. This is how He relieves our stress. By actually giving us what we need, not what we want. That is more important. Second, Brahmaji prays and says that actually even the great demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, all the Tirthas, all the holy dhams, all the places of pilgrimage, they are all sanctified because they are taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Not any other way, but it is the lotus feet of the Lord that is the real sanctuary, and from there all other sanctuaries come. Then he goes on to say, Britya. This is very nice. He says two things in the third line. In the third line he says, one, that just by even trying to offer obeisances to the Lord, that person takes immediate shelter of his lotus feet. Mahaprabhu is ready to grant mercy even to one who is just trying to offer respectful obeisances. And at the same time, he is daily always remembering how to always bring the great devotees of the Lord who are fixed in devotional service, always, always to take them back to God. His lotus feet is like a boat that can carry us across this terrible ocean of birth and death. What is that verse in chapter 12:6? This is what Krishna does. Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasamat paraha ananye naiva yogena mavyayanta upasate teshamaham samudatta mrityu samsara sagara bhavamina chirakata mayavesitachetasa. This is beautiful two verses, because this is what Krishna's promise is to us. He says those devotees who are surrendered, right, sannyasa bhaktaraha, who are always dedicated with mind, with body, to these devotees Krishna says, he promises that I am a swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Bhavami, without delay. Nachirat Patra. So this is Krishna's mercy to us. He is the one from whose advantages alone who can relieve us from distress. When we are in distress, please turn only to two parties. Turn to Krishna, turn to the association of devotees. Because Krishna and his devotees are non-different. If you have any problem in your heart, increase the intensity and fabric of your devotional service. Concentrate on the pages of Bhagavatam very seriously and you will never be alone. You will never be alone. No devotee should feel lonely in this world. Loneliness is for the materialist. For the devotee, Krishna is present in all his entourage. As devotees, he is here. As Bhagavatam, he is here. As the deities, he is here. What do we lack? We don't lack anything. So how does Krishna do it? He does it through the platform of devotional service. Why does he reciprocate with his devotees? The purport is telling us this point. The reason why he reciprocates with his devotees is because one, Prabhupada says, they are aware of his transcendental form. This is an important qualification. Because they are aware of his transcendental form, what do the devotees do? Prabhupada writes, they render him service. This is the real, real, real difference between a devotee and the atheistic non-demons. I mean the non-devotee demons. The devotees are always ready to render service to Krishna. Why? Because they are convinced, they are aware, they are cognizant, they are conscious that Krishna's form, Krishna, everything about Krishna is transcendental to the material world. This we must swallow this and ingest it and digest it and assimilate it, that Krishna has nothing to do with this world, that he is purely transcendence. Therefore whatever he does for us is only good. There is nothing that Krishna has done for us that is bad. There is nothing that we lack now that stops us from taking up the devotional service. Nothing, Prabhu Sri Mataji, nothing. The moment we doubt that, we are not aware of his transcendence. The moment we are not aware of his transcendence, our service is lip service. It is just for the sake of doing. I am a social worker. I want to do some service. Byproduct is maybe Krishna is pleased. But the actual way is opposite. That Krishna is the reason why we do the service. Nothing else. If we miss this point, our service becomes clawed. meaning FLAWED, and also FLOORED. Yeah, flawed also. It comes to the ground. Why? Because we cannot perform continuous, we cannot perform unmotivated devotional service to Krishna. And it is stated in pages of Bhagavatam that if you really want to perform devotional service, then Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma Yathor Bhaktir Adok Saje Ahaituki Aprati Hata Yayatma Suprasitati. To really please Krishna, we must perform the devotional service. And that service must be continuous. Cannot be this Sunday I come, next Sunday I don't come, one Saturday I come, next Saturday I don't come, or at home if I feel like waking up Jagannath today, I'll wake him up. Tomorrow if I don't feel like waking up Jagannath, just sleep in, we're giving you a break. This is not the way for us to think. Some people ask us, why wake up deities in the morning at 4? There's a group which very much is against this, sir. They've written petitions to ISKCON. They say that you're offending the Lord. You have to wake up, but how can you wake him up so early? He needs to sleep. But they don't realize that he wakes us up because he never sleeps. So this point is because they are not aware of his transcendental form. Because they are not aware, the service is interrupted. The service is discontinued. So Prabhu's Mataji is, if you want to perform continuous loving devotional service to Krishna, then the purport of 6.16.34 Srimad Bhagavatam tells us, to perform continuous devotional service, your motive must be right. If your motive is to render service to Krishna without any demand for some side, give me something on the side, Krishna. You know, I'm doing so much for you. Surely, maybe a raise, pay rise, maybe some nice Mataji to get married to. Something must be there. That is not continuous. That is not good motivation. Krishna will. Krishna doesn't have to. You yourself will find the excuses. Prabhuji, I can't come. I can't do this, I can't do that. And all this is you speaking. Because from being pious and taking shelter of Krishna, we have forgotten Krishna's transcendental form. Our service goes. It goes. We must be very careful. Whether it's 1 year devotional service or 50 years, this tendency is strong. Because apara, the material energy of the Lord, is very strong. Very strong. There's only one way to counter it. The shield of devotional service. So why does he reciprocate with that devotee? He reciprocates with that devotee only when the devotee is aware of his transcendental form, renders him service. This attracts the Lord. And when the Lord is attracted, then the Lord is always there to protect his devotee in all situations. Look at Gajendra, Prabhu said, Mataji. Gajendra prayed to Krishna. He prayed and prayed and prayed to the Supreme Absolute Being. He didn't name Krishna as Krishna. And at the end of his prayer, he said, okay, now that I've described all the wonderful characteristics of the Supreme Absolute Truth, please come. And the demigods hesitated. Because they knew that all these qualities don't apply to us. They actually apply to Krishna. So they all waited. All these qualifications, we are not involved. So who to come? Krishna came. And he came because he got attracted to this nice devotional mood of Gajendra, that he sought the shelter of no one else but Krishna. No one else but Krishna. This is a very important point for us to remember. And if we remember that, then we must remember that not only does Krishna take care of the devotees by relieving their distress, Krishna also takes care of the demons. And this is the most interesting part of the verse actually. Because devotees, we can understand. We have some conception. Of course, Prabhu, ye yatha mam prapadyate samstata eva bhajami aham. As we are doing devotional service, little or more, Krishna will reciprocate. But demons, how does he reciprocate with the demons? This is the argument that Prabhupada is putting forward. Here, asatam asambhavaya is very important. Because here, Prabhupada says Krishna is the destroyer of the further advances in atheistic temperament of non-devotee demons. What a phrase. What a phrase. Why is Prabhupada putting so much? Why doesn't he just say Krishna kills them? Full stop. That's it. But no, he is checking them. He destroys. What does he destroy? He doesn't destroy them. He destroys their advances in the atheistic temperament. And by doing so, what is Krishna doing? He's not letting them go to hell, so to speak. He's actually pulling them away from hell. He's stopping them. All you people, you are errant. My dear sons, you are also coming from me. But you want to perform all these funny activities and not remember me. So I will stop it.
I won't encourage it. A real true father, no matter whether his son obeys him or not, is always loving to all his sons. All of you are mothers and fathers, most of you. If you have a problem child at home, do you discard him? Never. In fact, very often we pay more attention to that errant child because we know that errant child needs more of our attention. And this is the same root that's coming from the Supreme Father, Krishna. When Krishna sees a child is out of line, he finds a way to pull him back. And he did that brilliantly with Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is a great example. He is a pure devotee, no doubt. But these pure devotees, you know, they enact such sweet pastimes to teach us how we non-devotee demons can actually come out of this terrible existence. You remember Bali Maharaj, he was ready to take over the three worlds. He was at a point of high ascendancy when his time was there. His stars were shining, so to speak. Indra and all the kings and all the demigods, no power. They eventually had to surrender to Bali Maharaj. But Lord promised the demigods that I will come and I will take everything away from Bali and I will return it to you, because rightfully Bali should not have done that. Prabhupada writes in the purport that Bali Maharaj did that because he succumbed to this temperament of lording over material nature. And we are always at that doorstep. In the name of devotional service, we are ready to lord over anything and then claiming as our own. Bali did that only on a much larger scale, across three worlds. We take one small part of this shop and say, Prabhu, I want, this is my space, don't sit on that. This is already lording. This is lording tendency already. Have you seen little children, how they fight between each other? They never share their toys. They share only 1 minute of peace will last. After 1 minute, that's it, Kurukshetra. And we say children are innocent. They are innocent, but all the tendencies of lording over material nature, fully there. Ready to manifest when we grow up into handsome young adults. This is our problem. Bali Maharaj had that. Vamandev, the Lord, appeared as Vamandev. And when he came as a dwarf, he came to the fire sacrifice. And when he appeared in the fire sacrifice, Bhagavatam tells us, he was so brilliant that all of them thought the sun god himself must have come. So Bali then saw, hey, very small tiny boy standing there. What does he want? Bali Maharaj became amused. So he brought him as Brahmana should be, treated him like a king and an emperor. Bali Maharaj had nice etiquette. Demons always had nice etiquette in those days, much better than us actually. And then after that he sat him down, and after sitting him down, he offered him everything. And then he said, okay, can we move forward because the crowd is picking up. Just a little bit forward. If you want to sit on Vyasa Sarma, so can you. You can all come very close. Come, come. Okay. So Bali Maharaj then asked the most important question of his life. The question that would change his life forever. But at that time he had no idea. He said, Brahmana, tell me, what do you want? You want the world, you want riches, you want everything, take it. And Vamandev said, he said that all I want is three pieces of land, right, which is judged by the three paces that I will take. Bali Maharaj laughed. He wanted to be magnanimous. He said, I can afford more. Tell me, surely you can take more. Surely you are more worth more. You are a Brahmana. Why take only this? I'll give you all the worlds. You take this material world. You want an island? You take an island. You want any continent? Name the continent. Take it. Like that. But then Vamandev said, you know, he said very nicely, this is important for us. He said that, my Lord, please remember one thing. Even if you give all the continents and all the three worlds to one who is not satisfied, all that still cannot satisfy you. But for me, I am satisfied with three paces. Is that alright for you? Trick question. At that point of time, Bali Maharaj said, alright, it is fine with me. Sukracharya said, wait, Bali. I sense a trap. This person is no ordinary person. He is going to come and he is going to take everything from you. And Sukracharya gave various arguments to put forward why at this point Bali Maharaj was entitled to deny this Brahmana. But Bali rejected all the arguments. And he said, I have given my word. And if he really is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as you suspect, then so be it.
Let not the name of me and all my illustrious predecessors be tarnished just because I want to be stingy with what I have. Already Bali Maharaj was a pure devotee. But he's showing us one important point, that the moment one comes in contact with Krishna or devotional service, one's heart will change. That is the process of devotional service. Very important point for us to remember. And at that point of time, Bali Maharaj said, please, take now what you want. Take your 3 steps. And at that point of time, Vamandev stopped being a dwarf. He became the Supreme Lord. And he took 2 big steps. With 1 step, he covered all of the lower worlds. In the next step, he covered the middle world and the higher regions. And he had one last step to take. And he had nowhere to place. And Bali Maharaj was completely astounded. And Bhagavatam tells us that the Lord did this wonderful pastime to teach Bali Maharaj, or rather to teach us, one important thing. Should you ever feel that you have everything and that you own it, then please know that whatever you have is nothing next to what the Lord possesses. Because everything that we have is all coming from Krishna. Even our ability to speak is coming from Krishna. Our ability to sit down and hear Bhagavatam is coming by His mercy. Nothing can come without Him. That's why then Vamandev exhibited transcendental anger and frustration with Bali and said, Bali, what is this? You told me that you will give 3 lands. You bargained with me and told me I'll give you more. Now I have taken only 2 steps and there is no land left. Where am I going to put my leg down? You have not only disgraced your ancestors, but you have broken your promise. You have lost the spirit of your Kshatriya family. Bali Maharaj by then was tied. He was tied up by the rope. The Lord had bound him like a prisoner and he appeared before the Lord, shamed. Bali Maharaj put his head down and he said, Lord, now there is no other place for you to put your feet except on my head. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that Bali did this because he felt that though all the worlds were there, he was actually at that point of time the king of all the worlds. So if there's anyone whose head should go, he is accountable. So the Lord, when he heard that, became very pleased actually. Very pleased. And at that point of time, Bali Maharaj tells us one very important point, which is why it is relevant to the verse today. He says in this verse, you know, I think the verse is in 8.22.5 of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, I forget the Sanskrit, but the English I remember. He says, since your lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, he accepts, actually your lordship is the greatest well-wisher. Nobody else well-wishes us more than you. Why? You act for our welfare all the time. Why? How do you do that? You act for our welfare as if you are our enemy. See, Krishna behaves like an enemy, but actually he is your well-wisher. Many times, Prabhu said, Mataji, you will encounter many demonic tendencies in your life. Elements which are anti-Vedic. Things that shouldn't happen to you. But remember this verse. Because Krishna is the well-wisher, even though he appears as an enemy. Our greatest enemy in this world is always time. But if we use time well for Krishna, Krishna appears like enemy, running. It is running. But we don't see death. We only see Krishna at the end of the run. And then, Vamandev note, then Bali Maharaj says, because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige, this is the reason why the Lord checks the atheistic advances. Because of false prestige. False prestige is the root of ego. It is the root and the symptom of one who wants to lord over material nature. The moment you have some false prestige that I am somebody, you want to acquire something for yourself. Natural. Nobody will say, I am prestigious and not have anything. You will accumulate. The moment you have false prestige, you want followers. You want nice items with you. You want everyone to glorify you. You want everyone to worship you. You want everyone to know how great you are. All this is coming from false prestige. And Krishna always checks the atheistic advances of the non-devotee demons by destroying their false prestige. That's why he destroys our plans, Prabhu and Mataji. Because our plans are built on false ego. Our plans are invariably built on false ego. And thinking that I know better. men, we are defective all way around, like we discussed last time. Defective senses, always making mistakes, right? Always in illusion, and what? Always cheating. And still we think we can make a perfect plan. How can that be? So Krishna smashes us that way, like an enemy. But then Bali Maharaj says, by chastising us, you give us the eyes to see the right path. By chastising us, how? Through the agency of material nature. Most of us don't have the great fortune of being killed by Krishna directly. That's for the higher grade of non-devotee demons. Or lower, whichever way you want to say it, you know. But they are very paka in what they are doing, demonically. We are neither there, we are neither here. Demonic demons also, we cannot achieve perfection. Devotees also, we are not perfect. So we are in between. For that group of people, Krishna does this. Through the agency of time, he cuts us down. He checks our atheistic advances. And very often he checks our atheistic advances by placing us in the company of devotees. In the beginning we can't stand devotees. I couldn't stand devotees. Oh, it was too much, man, to see Tila. You know, it's just too fanatical, Prabhu. You know, be a bit balanced on the ground. These are all my words, I'm telling you that. You know, the first day I come, I saw all of them jumping. I thought, this is the last time I'm coming here. Never have I seen such a riot, you know. This is really a riot. It was a riot in the temple because it was ecstatic kirtan, you know. And everyone was jumping. And then I remember Sundar Gopal came up to me and said, I said, what is this? He said, jump, jump. And I thought, no, I'm going back now. I'm going to go back now. And then 1 week later, I was back again. So I thought, this is nice jumping actually. Where else to jump? You are going to jump either in the pub, or you are going to jump down from somewhere. Better jump for Krishna. So this is how Krishna cuts us down. He cuts us down. But we must take the lesson from how Bali Maharaj reacted to the cut down. Then we see that whether he checks, whether he relieves, they are the same. Then we will see. If we react favorably, we will accept Krishna. If we don't, we cannot. We will always see duality in this world. We will always see two things. But if we can see both ways is actually Krishna, then whatever happens, we become dhira. We become peaceful. Then we become safe and secure in our devotional service. So Bali Maharaj did that. And then he goes on to pray very nicely. He says, what a wonderful effect. What a wonderful effect there is in even attempting, this is nice, in even attempting to offer respectful obeisances to Krishna. Bali Maharaj is just, he's ending his prayer by saying this. How nice. I just attempted to offer respectful obeisances. I could not offer directly. You remember when Vamandev came, Bali Maharaj could not fall at Vamandev's feet. He could not. Why? Because Sukracharya checked him. The demigods were there. And he was in, he was still not sure what was happening. But when he came to see the greatness of Vamande, by then what had happened? He had been bound up already. He could not even offer dandavas. So Prabhupada writes in that purport of this verse, he says that Vamande is so merciful, Krishna is so merciful, even if in the mind, because of some fault or some obstacle, you cannot offer respectful obeisances, but sincerely, Bali Maharaj offered them. Then Bali Maharaj says here, I merely endeavored to offer you respectful obeisances. That's all. I just bowed my head like that. But nonetheless, that attempt was as successful as those of the pure devotees. This is the verse. That attempt was as successful as that of the pure devotees. Why? The causeless mercy that you have shown me, a fallen demon, was not even achieved by the demigods nor the leaders of various planets. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, this is why Krishna is known as Bhavagrahi Janardana. Bhavagrahi Janardana. This beautiful name for Krishna. And Prabhupada says, Krishna's quality is that he takes, and I quote him, he takes the essence of your devotional attitude. And in the last line of the purport, Prabhupada says, he takes the essence of the devotional mentality of the devotee. So Prabhupada gives the example in the purport that because Krishna is a super soul in everyone's heart, if a devotee sincerely surrenders to him in his heart, then Krishna immediately can understand this. sometimes we judge devotees. Oh, this Prabhu doesn't come so much to do service. He's not up to the mark. This Prabhu is always coming for service. He's up to the mark. That is wrong. We are judging. But Krishna is super soul. He's in the heart. He knows. For some reason, he may not be coming here. But he's doing so much service at home. So much service outside. Who knows? Krishna knows. And when he knows, he awards this devotee great benediction. In the case of Bali Maharaj, though he was demonic in tendency of grabbing, Krishna came to check his grabbing. And after checking him, Bali Maharaj changed. And when he changed, what did Krishna know? Krishna recognized that change. Krishna recognized that Bali was sincere in his heart to want to offer something to Krishna. But he was tied down, literally. He could not do anything. So then Krishna became very, very merciful to this devotee, Bali Maharaj. This is our position exactly. That we also very often are checked by Krishna. When you want to do a material endeavor or even a spiritual endeavor and you find that what you want and what Krishna wants is different, remember Bhava Grahi Janardana. Remember that Krishna is checking you and that he is seeing the essence of your devotional mentality. That's why Prabhu said, Mataji, finally, Krishna consciousness is not about talk. It is about the heart. If your heart is really sincere, if your heart really sincerely wants to serve Krishna, even 1%, 100%, 80%, only Krishna will decide. And he, ye yatha mam prapadyante, in this verse, he then reciprocates. He then reciprocates. See the beauty of Krishna. Remember Putana? Putana herself was just coming to kill, to suck the life air. She was supposed to kill by giving poison to Krishna. Krishna reversed the situation and checked her atheistic advancement. How did he do that? He killed her by sucking the life air out of her. But because she pretended to be a nurse, and she did a good pretense job at that, she was so good as an actress that the whole household of Yashoda Mata fell for it. They thought, here's a beautiful gopi, elderly mother coming to suckle Krishna. What's wrong? Nobody knew she was the heinous Putana. She was coming to kill Krishna. That's a bad motive, let me tell you that. Very bad motive. Anyone wants to kill Krishna, not very nice. But despite all that, what happened? Despite all that, Krishna awarded her two things. He gave her the chance to suckle him. Which even mothers who are yogis, who want to even touch the lotus feet or the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna cannot get for millions and millions and millions of yugas. He gave to this demon. And then Prabhupada says that at the end of Putana's life, her whole body became completely smelling, scented sandalwood. How could that be if she was demonic? It could not be. She was purified. She was purified. And in her next life, Krishna gave her the post of a nurse so that she can continue with what she started as an act and how she ended in devotional service. So that is why Shukadeva Goswami is also saying, you know, Aho Bhakiya, how wonderful it is that this great Putana, you know, who acted merely, could be given this mercy. This is Krishna, Prabhu and Mataji. This is his quality. That he is really the well-wisher of all of us. Sometimes he chastises us. But to the great devotees, he relieves them of distress. So both ways, whether we are slapped by the difficulties of life, or whether Krishna is giving us nice devotional service directly, we should never be discouraged. We should never be down. We should always prop ourselves up and take the courage and be confident and patient in Krishna consciousness and execute it very faithfully and let the Lord guide us through whatever He wants. That is mood of devotee. So the conclusion that Prabhupada gives is nice. Prabhupada brings us back now to the point of Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa, he says. These Paramahamsas are the last word in sannyas. You have seen the last three before that. The last word in sannyas is Paramahamsa. And Prabhupada very, very carefully here, he says very nicely, actually he quotes, you know, very nicely, particularly he quotes Kunti Mata very much in this particular verse. Because he is saying here that Kunti Mata is the authority for telling us what is the transcendental nature of Paramahamsa stage. And Prabhupada says a nice point in the purport. If you look at the purport, Prabhus, in the last line of their second paragraph, those who accept the path of Bhakti Yoga are the factual Paramahamsas. This is the point that we should remember. Why? Because those who are actually following the path of Bhakti Yoga, they are factually, the word factually is given. Why is it used there? It actually becomes more meaningful when we actually remember what Kunti Mata said in her prayers. In her prayer, do you remember that prayer? Yes. Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanatam katam pashyema hi sriyaha. And the purport and the verse is very important for us to understand this purport. Kunti Mata says, Krishna, you yourself descend. And this is where he is also descending. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service into the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists. That is the Paramahamsa. This is what Krishna does. He comes to propagate devotional service into our hearts. That's why devotional service and Krishna are non-different. They are non-different. The moment we miss the devotional service or it becomes mixed, we have lost Krishna. We have lost Krishna. When it is pure, Krishna is with us. When it is mixed, like everything else, chanting and everything else, mixed reading, everything becomes mixed. And we are in trouble again. So Kunti Mata says that you are established in the hearts of the transcendentalists and the mental speculators. The mental speculators are also included. This is Krishna's mercy. Why? Because when Krishna enters into their hearts, he purifies them. Eventually the mental speculators move out of their platform also. And then Krishna, by purifying them, he then says, so then he purifies them by making them determine and discriminate between matter and spirit. This is very important. We are all sitting in a room. The room is matter. The subject matter that the room is about is spirit. If we can distinguish these two, we are on the platform of bhakti. That's why Prabhupada uses the word factual. Because at the end, Kunti Mata says, Pashyema hi sriyaha. Right? She says, how can we women know you perfectly? She's taking the humble stand. I'm a woman. I cannot understand you. But Prabhupada makes the clarification nicely. He supports the conclusion very nicely by giving us realization. He says, Kunti Mata is very humble. But what she's saying is that Krishna is so kind that all classes of persons can actually come to the Lord, provided factually they are practicing Bhakti Yoga. That's why the word factual is here. It is one thing to have a designation that you are Paramahamsa. It is another thing to act like a Paramahamsa. This is one thing we should never forget. So the conclusion of this verse is very nice. The first point we must remember is that Krishna is always ready to be like a strong breeze, Prabhu and Mataji. He relieves us of our distress. You know, when you sit in the autumn weather after summer and the rains come and that nice wind comes in, you know, that first fresh wind that comes. In India, I think you feel it more. In Singapore, there's no autumn, no winter, nothing. Huh? Singapore, one straight weather all the way. All four weathers in one day. But when you feel the wind, that first breath of wind, it relieves your heat. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. And the other point we must remember is that nobody in this world is outside the family of the Lord. Mataha parataram namyan kinchit asti dhananjaya. For us. Rotham? Yes. This is very nice verse. 7-7 Prabhuji of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. All, we must remember one thing. Krishna says, nothing is beyond me. That means even the demons are under the family of Krishna. But like sons who don't want to hear their father, they need a bit of slaps. That is the reason why, whether one is demon or one is devotee, we should remember one thing, and that's the first line of the purport. And that is, Krishna is the complete form of all existence, both material and spiritual. Aham sarvasya prabhu mattaha sarvam parvartate. That is the point we must always remember. Krishna is the source of everything. So if you're in difficulty, please don't blame anyone. Come to Krishna, lodge your complaint with Him, and then become relieved by taking up the process He recommends, devotional service. If you don't want to hear Him, then alright, you do what you want. But through the agency of the stringent laws of material nature, Krishna will pull you back. Karma is there. And eventually you get frustrated with life. And then again you have to come back to the lotus feet of Krishna. So why go the long route when you can take the shortcut? Here, Jagannath is here now. He is ready to accept us. But our mood should be not false prestige. Don't wait for Krishna to check the false prestige. Surrender to Krishna first and drop the false prestige at His lotus feet. I'm reminded, you know, I'll just take 2 minutes, then we will end. Jagannath in Puri, one time there was this rich man who came to Jagannath Puri. And he told the Jagannath Puri temple priest, I'm going to give you 1 lakh rupees today. The condition is you must spend it totally today on the Lord's prasad. You cannot leave it for next day, next day, next day. By doing so, the priest thought, even if you give us 1 lakh, even if we were to do everything, 1 lakh is still more than what we can offer the Lord. So the man became very proud. He thought, see, my money is so big that in Jagannath Puri, there is value to my money. So then the chief priest came to him and said, let us pray to Jagannath. Today, tonight, tomorrow morning, we will come and tell you what Jagannath wants, how to spend your money. So the merchant said, alright, I'll wait for a day. In the morning he comes and he says, what has Jagannath said? So the chief priest said, in the night Lord Jagannath came to me in a dream. And he said, you tell this businessman that before we accept your 1 lakh rupees, what we want is you go and get for us 1 beautiful pearl. This pearl is so special that it is only found under the head of an elephant. It is found in a very specific elephant. It is completely white. And Sastras tell us that under the flap of the head of this elephant, you will find 1 beautiful pearl. So this man began thinking, now wait a minute, I have a problem here. There are maybe only 1 or 2 such elephants in the world. But I won't know, because I don't know which elephant has it. Now I have to go and buy elephants, inspect all of them, and find the pearl. How much does 1 elephant cost? 1 lakh rupees. How am I going to, can I offer them 1 pearl to Jagannath? I can't. My 1 lakh rupee has become valueless. Because I will not be able to find that many elephants to find that 1 pearl. In one movement, Jagannath had cut down this man's false prestige. We should not wait for that to happen. Now is the time for us to fall at the feet of Krishna, offer what we have to the Lord, and remember, anything good, anything bad, remember the twin functions of the Lord. He relieves your distress, and He will check your atheistic advances. In Kali Yuga, we can say safely that demons and devotees reside both very closely in one heart. In one heart. Some days we are demonic. Take out tilak, we are a different person. Wear pants, shirt, tie, oh, we've become a man of the world. That must change. Wherever we go, we carry with us consciousness. That is the key. Jai Grantana Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Shla Prabhupada ki. Jai Shla Gurudev ki. Itai Gaura Premana. We can take maybe one question, and Prabhus, maybe we can start setting up the projector. Madhavan Prabhu, what is the status? Okay. Any questions, any comments, nice realizations, please, Chandra Prabhu.
Can we give Prabhuji the mic?
Thank you very much. Very nice. Wonderful class.
Thank you for tolerating Guru. I hope Guru. I don't make mistakes.
I'm so amazed. I like to sit at the other street and really sit and learn this out of your class.
No. Please.
I have this one difficulty understanding this thing. Rupa says, of course, that both Paramahansas for Brahmanandi and what is that?
Premanandi.
Both are Paramahansas.
Yes.
And then he said that those who accept the path of Bhakti Yoga are the factual Paramahansas.
Yes.
the difficulty why I am understanding is that how is this impersonalist whose desire is to merge the Supreme Commodity of Faith and their Sai Jim of Faith, how can that be considered as a bhakti?
I was hoping the question wouldn't come, but it came. No. Actually, you would be more qualified to answer this than I will.
No.
Prabhuji has brought up a nice point. If you look, just bear with me. Prabhu, don't need to see me, just hear. Hearing is more important than seeing. Nothing nice to see anyway. But in Bhagavatam, in the purport, Prabhuji has brought up this nice point. That in the purport, Prabhupada makes this point. And he does it many times actually. Even though Prabhupada very often puts down, so to speak, the impersonalist philosophy, then very often he reminds us, don't forget, impersonalists are also considered transcendentalists. Why is that so? This is the point that we have to understand. Now, from what little I know, from what I've read, Prabhuji, why impersonalists are also considered transcendentalists is because of the fact of only one reason. That Krishna has three features of himself. And the impersonal feature is the beginning. It may not be the highest, but it is already a step into the transcendental realm of understanding Krishna. The converse will help us actually, Prabhuji. Just take the example that if Krishna's Brahmajyoti is there, and we say, we declare that Krishna's Brahmajyoti impersonal feature is considered material, then how can that be part of the progress of realization towards understanding Krishna? We are actually demeaning Krishna's transcendence. That's why Prabhupada says in his lectures that transcendence is a gradual platform. Transcendence is dynamic. The highest form of transcendence is when our minds, our hearts and our lives have become ready to accept the two-handed form of Krishna, as we have been discussing in chapter 11. That is the highest stage of Bhagavan realization. But before that, 90% of us will always start with some formless idea of the Lord. Many of us have become disillusioned in our lives and thought, instead of fighting over who God is, better accept that God is someone there who is just impersonal. Prabhupada says, even that quest for coming out of this material cycle, to find something beyond this cycle, is already an attempt to come out of the material modes of nature. And the attempt to come out of the material modes of nature means that we are striving towards transcendence. That is why for many persons, Prabhuji, who may not be able to immediately accept the form of the Lord as the highest stage, Krishna is kind enough to give them a middle road, a stepping road, to move towards the platform of first understanding Krishna is everyone's heart, and then understanding Krishna is actually Bhagavan. So this impersonal stage cannot be totally discounted. That's why Prabhupada also says that those who are taking Bhakti Yoga, they are factually Paramahamsas. Factually meaning that in reality, those who take up Bhakti Yoga, they actually fully serve Krishna. Because that is the essence of Bhakti. But those who take up the impersonalist philosophy, even though they are considered Anandis, that means they derive bliss, but they are deriving bliss from the portion of the Lord which is not actually the Lord, but His extension in the form of the rays. The rays of the sun cannot be the sun, yet it cannot live and be separate from the sun. Just like you said, Prabhuji, the original candle must always remain the original candle. So that way, when we come to the sun, Prabhupada gave a nice example. Before we can come to the sun, we know the sun, Prabhupada said, through his rays. Very often we can't see the sun immediately. But when we see the rays of the sun, we think, this is nice. Prabhupada says that mood of saying, this is nice, means I want to come out of the dirt and the grime of the material life. And I want to take up this elevated process, which will take me out of this. That mood, Krishna appreciates. And when he appreciates, he allows you to start some form of transcendence. That is why Brahmanandis, Brahmavadis are also considered in the realm of transcendental. But Prabhupada cautions, because if they do not eventually move from Brahmanandis up to
to Paramatma and up to Bhagavan realization, the tendency for someone in that position to become bored, as Prabhupada said, because there is lack of service, will eventually cause them to glide again. Then again people say, but if you are transcendental, how can you glide? But my Guru Maharaj always gave me this point when he said, transcendence is dynamic. That means now, as we are sitting here talking about Bhagavatam, we are out of the modes. We are all in pure devotional platform, whether we like it or not. But the moment we stop being in contact, Brahma Sparsham, with Krishna, we leave the transcendence. This is the nature of the material world. So that's why initiation is not a one-day affair. And taking name, initiation means daily we must initiate ourselves in the process of transcendence, in the process of bhakti yoga. Otherwise, we are not factually on the platform. Otherwise, by semantics, by labeling, we may be called transcendental, but actually, we may become very dry in our devotional service. Is that okay, Prabhuji?
But one thing, just to me, my understanding was
yes. Yes. Transcendental means beyond the three modes of nature. Yes. Yes, Soji. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes. That's why Prabhupada is stating two things. In the last line he says, factually they are Paramahamsas. In the last paragraph he says, please be mindful that even the impersonalists have capacity to come out of material modes of nature. Because anyone who wants to start one process of self-inquiry, Prabhuji, and they are moving towards that, they are already moving away from the material modes. But one thing I have learned actually from Bhagavatam is that liberation and transcendence is fluid as long as we are alive. When we are with Bhagavatam, we are free from the material modes. That faith we must never lose. But the moment we lose touch with the transcendence, there is every possibility in this life that we can degrade into the temporary nature. We can degrade. It is possible. Those who don't degrade, they are factually Paramahamsas. Those who will consistently be above the material modes on the platform of Bhagavan, they are Paramahamsas. Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas. But it is stated in Sastras that even then, the Mayavadis are still considered transcendental. Prabhupada, even in Kunti Mata's purports also, he makes this point that we should not discount them. If I may say something, sometimes we have a tendency too much to condemn these Mayavadis. Prabhupada did that to make sure we understand that Krishna is personal. But having said that, we should not waste too much time on the Brahmanandis. Otherwise we end up like them also. We should always remember this thing, you know, there's a saying in the Bible, the best way to stop someone being an impersonalist or an atheist is to ask him this question after he has eaten a good meal. Do you sincerely believe that there was a cook who cooked this meal? And the person has to say, yes, there must be a cook who cooked this meal. Immediately that person has come up to Bhagavan platform. If he says, no, it's just the rain somewhere, you know, the meal just appeared. No foolish man even will ever say such a thing. So the Bible is right, because the Bible is intensely personal actually. You know, the Bible is right, that if we really look behind every action, every event in our lives, we will know that the hand of Krishna is there. The moment you remember the hand of the Lord, you are already in transcendence. Why? Because you remember Krishna's personal form. Thank you, Prabhuji. One last, and then we have to move.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I mean, regarding this, I read in Brahma Sutra that these impersonalists who are actually desiring liberation, but they still have desire, that they want to go there. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj explained that the devotees are desireless, And that desirelessness is that they want to be with Krishna wherever they are. But the impersonalists, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj explained, that they have this desire to go to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. There we can understand more or less why the difference between the Paramahamsa, because the Paramahamsa has no separate desire at all. This is the point. I thought that would be interesting.
Thank you.
We should end now, Prabhu Swamijis. We are going to show a short video presentation. The reason we are doing this is because